The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Off the faceoff now, Eklund has, twisting in the right left wing circle. Moves away from Uyghur, spins it over. Will Smith gloves that pass that was in the air down to the ice. He controls, back to Celebrini, cross ice. Liljegren shot wide. Smith shoots, score! Will Smith makes it a one-goal game. The Sharks get that quick power play goal they desperately need. At 18:01 of the third, the score is the Flames 3, the Sharks 2, and San Jose says just one more to go.
I don't know if it's mental fatigue. I think there's we see the light at the end of the tunnel of the season being over. Maybe that's what it is. But I think our guys really competed hard tonight. You know, I thought it was a good response from the last game. So I think we competed. We did a lot of the right things that we've talked about this morning, especially. I mean, they translated into our game. We had success from it in the first period. We just have to mature and how to have, you know, be able to have a board game, and we don't want to do that right now.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks coming off a very competitive game against Calgary last night, falling by a final of 3-2. Yes, once again, the San Jose Sharks were in a situation in which they took a lead into the third period, but it was only a 1-0 lead. Now, there are multiple ways that I am going to look at this. And the first is that if you've only given up one goal halfway through the third period, if you've only given up no goals entering the third period, that is a game that a good hockey team at home should win 99 times out of 100. The issue is that the San Jose Sharks are not a quote-unquote good hockey team. They are in last place in the National Hockey League this year for a reason. I don't view them as an abject disaster or anything like that, but we have to be honest. The Sharks have the worst record for a reason. The standings might not tell the entire story, but they do not lie about where San Jose is at this point of the year. The other aspect of this is that if you are only going to score one goal entering the third period, that's probably not going to be enough. That's probably not going to be enough to get you to the finish line and have you walk away with a win 99 times out of 100, whether you're at home, whether you're away, whether you're a great team, whether you're a bad team. Now, the Sharks do have a 1-0 win to their credit this year, but that was much earlier in the season. It was on the road against New Jersey. Mackenzie Blackwood was their starting netminder, and I believe that was won by way of an own goal that was tapped in by Timo Meier back-checking as the Sharks had a scoring opportunity. That's a great way to end up with a goal. I would not say that that is something you bank on. In fact, I would say a 1-0 win is about as difficult a situation as you can give yourself because there is zero margin for error. You can't screw up. You can't make a mistake. The whole idea of building on offensive output during a game is to give yourself a little bit more breathing room. It's not just about scoring more goals. It's not just about dominating the game. It's not just about having success. Those are all byproducts of scoring multiple goals in a game, but it's also give yourself some breathing room. If you get into a game and the later and later that you get into it, you tell yourself, be perfect, be perfect, be perfect, be perfect, that's not going to work out well when all is said and done. Because I think the Sharks, by way of knowing how many times this year they've had a poor outcome by entering the third period with a one goal or very, very tight game situation where they've walked away with the loss, I think that we saw a little bit of that scar tissue as they were not aggressive enough, and I think they ran out of gas a little bit in that third period because they were tight. They were not loose. They were not playing freely. They were not playing the way that they wanted to play, and it allowed Calgary to find an opening and get themselves back into the game. And a lot of the credit of this has to go to Dustin Wolf as well. Of course, the Gilroy native came through with huge saves after huge save and just was having a great game. But on the other side, Georgi Romanov for San Jose, I thought he was having a great game. I thought that he played phenomenally. And you need to give him support. You need to give him breathing room. You need to tell him that he has to be more than perfect to get himself a win when all is said and done, the first of his National Hockey League career. Romanov has played some really good hockey as of late, and I've really liked his netminding as he's trying to show that he belongs. That goes back to what we've heard from Ryan Warsawski since the Four Nations break, that he wants to see these guys prove it, that they believe they belong from now until the end of the season. It's never that simple. It's never that linear, obviously, but I do really appreciate that effort that we've seen from these guys, and I think we want to see more of these efforts. We want to see more of these guys that have been, you know, with the Barracuda or new to the Sharks putting forth these great efforts. But, you know, he wasn't the issue. He was told throughout that game repeatedly, we do not have the offensive support. You have to be perfect. And I don't put those situations on him in which the goals were scored. Those were high-quality goals from Calgary. And, you know, especially that final one, which comes off the turnover from Wennberg, which is an unfortunate play. But Wennberg, you know, had been playing a solid game up to that point. That's life in the NHL. That's how it goes sometimes. And so for San Jose, is another learning opportunity where they have to figure out where they are going to go from here, what they are going to do in similar situations next year. Because it's not like, even though I imagine the team will be better next year, even though they were better this year, they're not going to suddenly be in that many fewer tight games. Ultimately, when we look ahead to next year, it's going to be the tight games that decide whether or not they are in the playoff conversation, whether or not they are going to be in that wild card conversation when we get deeper into the year. Yes, in a dream scenario, they are making their way to the playoffs with ease. I don't think it's going to be a dream scenario that quickly. It would be great if it was. I just don't think it is. But when we look ahead, we have to figure out that the San Jose Sharks are going to be seeing more and more of these tight situations. They don't go away. Last year, the Sharks had a number of tight losses as well. They just had a significantly higher portion of blowout losses. But these games aren't going away. This tight situational hockey isn't going away. You have to figure out how to build on a lead. You have to figure out how to give yourself more building room. You have to figure out how to generate momentum. You have to figure out how to get all four lines involved. You can't waste power plays. That's another one. The first power play the Sharks had last night, it just really looked like they were not clicking. We're not on the same page. We're not able to find a rhythm. And credit to Calgary, they were able to have success on their penalty kill against the Sharks power play that has not looked amazing for one reason or another. But you know, these are the things that the Sharks can't waste. You know, opportunities that are missed come back to haunt you. And the Sharks, even though they got a great performance from Will Smith, were not able to capitalize in some earlier situations in the game, which they could have given themselves some breathing room. Some of that credit goes to Wolf, again, a netminder who is having a great start to his career and having a great year overall. And some of that goes to the Sharks not being able to finish, not being able to take advantage of opportunities. These are the things that we've seen consistently week after week, month after month, game after game throughout this entire season for San Jose. So there are certain realities that we attribute to youth and inexperience. There are certain realities that we attribute to a talent disparity. And there is the reality that when we combine all these things, it's going to put the Sharks in a difficult situation to walk away with wins. I wish it was easy. I wish San Jose had the ability to win games with more ease. I wish they had a greater level of talent overall. But even when they did have more talent earlier this year, when they had Cody Ceci, when they had Mikhail Granlund, when they had Luke Cunningham, when they had Nico Sturm, when they had Mackenzie Blackwood, and when they had Fabian Zetterlund, and you go down the list, even when they had all those players, they were still not winning those games with ease. And I think that's another thing that many of us are taking away from this situation is that, you know, they were not getting those wins when they had more talent. It's one of the reasons why those trades were made at the deadline. And it's still something that is going to take time. Ultimately, it's going to fall on Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and William Eklund and Colin Graf and eventually Yaroslav Askarov. I think those are guys that are going to be a big part of the future of San Jose, and they're going to be the leaders. And then we're also going to see Quentin Musty and, you know, Igor Chernyshov, you would imagine, and, you know, Sam Dickinson. You go down the list of all these different prospects and upcoming talents, but that's, you know, part of the reality. You can't, you know, just always wait and wait and wait. At some point, that talent has to develop and get it done. I don't think it's fair to ask all that of these rookies this year, but when we talk about the future, it is a fair ask. That's what you're bringing them in for. It's like, hey, we're going to develop your talent. We're going to make you the best possible NHL player that you can be. And at the same time, we are going to pay you handsomely, but you have to come back on the other side and get the big goals, get the big stops, make the big plays. You know, we go beyond that and we look at last night, the absence of Tyler Toffoli in terms of the offensive generation. I think you could feel that as well, but you know, Tyler Toffoli is not going to be there forever. As much as I hope that he is a Shark for as long as his career continues, because he's a great dressing room guy, he is the leading goal scorer, he is absolutely phenomenal, he's not going to be there forever. He's not always going to be able to contribute offensively. At some point, that ride is going to come to an end, and it can't just be reliant on him for the rest of his tenure. The other Sharks have to step up and be more of offensive generators, of offensive creators. And we're seeing more of that. Colin Graf, very much like Tyler Toffoli, has the ability to get net front. That's something that he does very, very well and has been consistent at since really this, you know, year when he's come up with the Sharks. So there are other guys who have the ability to bring some of that skill set to the table. But at the same time, you do miss Tyler Toffoli because he is consistent. He is hardworking. There is not a lot of flash to his game. He simply knows how to get it done, and he knows how to get it done with consistency. But, you know, you do got to give a lot of credit to the rookies. As much as I'm sitting here telling you what the Sharks could not do last night, you had a two-goal game from Will Smith. You know, he continues to get better and better as we get deeper into the season. You know, he's got 40 points at this point. You know, we look at Macklin Celebrini. He's got 57 points at this point of the season. These guys have played great hockey. They continue to get better. You love what you're seeing from them. You absolutely adore the personalities, the potential. They came through with games last night. Yeah, it was too little too late when they do find that second goal, but you know, the fact that you are looking at Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith showing up on the score sheet consistently throughout the entirety of the year, you have to appreciate that. And then a guy like Nikolai Kovalenko, who gets a shot to get back in the lineup here and prove himself, he gets on the board assisting Will Smith and trying to prove himself as part of that lineup. You know, you hope to see these things. You want to see these guys perform. You want to see these guys have an opportunity. And so Kovalenko makes the most of it. And he's another one of those young players, even though he's 25. But considering you got him as part of that trade for Mackenzie Blackwood, you want to see as much from him as possible. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of injury that has interrupted his season. So, yeah, these are all things that we take into account when we look at last night's game. Again, Romanov had a great game. Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini producing. Overall, losing 3-2 is a respectable scoreline. It's just indicative of missed opportunities, indicative of not enough offense, indicative of another tight third period loss for San Jose. It was a lot of the same problems that we've seen throughout this year. Lack of overall offensive generation, just in terms of building upon a lead. You know, we've seen this game before. We've watched this exact situation play out, and I'm not expecting it to, you know, disappear from their game between now and the final game of the season. And in fact, I assume it'll pop up again next year. But you have to imagine that if they're going to have that success, they are going to need to rectify it and make themselves a better team. All right, we are going to finish the conversation we had with Alan Hoshida yesterday. If you heard some of it, about half of it on the build-up, but I did want to get into some of these highlights from last night. Let's hear Will Smith, assisted by Nikolai Kovalenko and Macklin Celebrini, giving the Sharks the first period 1-0 lead.
Rebound into the corner, Celebrini knocked down, centering attempt there by Kovalenko. In front, Smith, shot, score! Will Smith from Kovalenko and Celebrini. The Sharks, with 24 seconds left in the first period, take the 1-0 lead, and Will Smith's got a goal-scoring streak going.
And from that point on, that 1-0 lead would stand because we saw a lot of this from Georgi Romanov.
Rebound poked out by the Flames. Here comes Morgan Frost, cross the line, backhand shot toward the net. That was a tricky save, but it was stopped at the edge of the crease by Romanov, who kept his eyes focused, was able to hang out of it to get the draw.
And a lot of this from Dustin Wolf.
And here come the Sharks. Graf cross the line. Give and go. A shot right to the net by Eklund. And a spectacular save by Dustin Wolf. And the rebound pops out. So the kid from Gilroy looking pretty sharp so far.
The Sharks held on to that 1-0 lead until the 8-12 mark of the third period, when Adam Klapka tied it up for Calgary.
This is dumped down the ice. No icing on the play. The Sharks move into forecheck. Can Liljegren keep it in? No. 2-on-1 developing. Uh-oh, here comes Kadri down the left wing side, moving in, shooting it, save made. Rebound, score! Klapka gets the rebound on that 2-on-1 break and bangs it home to tie the game 1-1 with 11:48 remaining in the game.
So it's 1-1, and at this point, I'm hoping that the Sharks have a big response in them, but they just look tight. Again, a little bit of that scar tissue that I could see from previous third periods that have gone this way. And then Jonathan Huberdeau makes it a 2-1 game.
Frost across the line, back to point. Weegar exchanges with Kadri, feeds it over to Frost, left circle. Stick handle, shoot, score! Screen set up in front of a net by Calgary. That was Huberdeau in front of the goal, but Frost put it up top, and it slips by Romanov. Power play goal for the Flames. They're up 2-1.
So that's two goals from Calgary in fewer than 3 minutes. And then about 4.5 minutes after that, after a turnover from Alex Wenberg, suddenly it is 3-1.
Henry Thrun back in his own zone. Nice little slip pass to Wenberg. He does some nifty stick handling on Backlund. But the clock is a factor now. Uh-oh. Wenberg stripped of the puck. Flames move in and they score. That's Coronado, who stole the puck from Wenberg on the pressure. Wenberg moving to the middle of the ice, gave it away, and Matt Coronado makes it 3-1 Calgary.
At this point, there's not a lot of time left, but the Sharks do get an opportunity on the power play. They get a 6-on-4 situation. Will Smith, with his 16th of the year, assisted by Timothy Liljegren and Macklin Celebrini, and the San Jose Sharks are back in it, but it would be too little, too late. This will be your final 3-2.
Off the faceoff now, Eklund has, twisting in the right left wing circle. He moves away from Uyghur. Spins it over. Will Smith gloves that pass that was in the air down to the ice. He controls. Back to Celebrini. Cross ice. Liljegren shot wide. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith makes it a one-goal game. The Sharks get that quick power play goal they desperately need. At 18:01 of the third, the score is the Flames 3, the Sharks 2, and San Jose says just one more to go.
So great to see a multi-point night from both Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, but ultimately the Sharks fall short in their effort to try and get another win before the season comes to a close, falling 3-2 to Calgary. And now they head out for their final four road games of the season, coming up tomorrow at Minnesota, then at Edmonton, then at Calgary, then at Vancouver, before they finish up on the 16th at home versus Edmonton. Head coach Ryan Warsowski with some of his thoughts after last night's game.
Yeah, I thought we did some good things defensively. Took away some time and space, killed some plays, which we've talked a lot about. I really liked our first, you know, Wolf makes some good saves. Wolf makes, you know, a good save on Mack during the second. And that really was kind of changed the momentum of the game.
And he also talked about the continuing high level of play from Will Smith and what he wants to see from the remainder of this season from the young star.
Yeah, good. You know, I think obviously two goals tonight. He's playing on the inside more. The game's really slowed down for him. I think tonight I thought he was really good again. So, you know, the goal for Will is to end the season on the right note and feel really good about training camp next year.
And I think that's something that has to be hammered home for these young players at the end of the year, even with the lack of results from the team in terms of wins. They should feel good about what they've done this year. The coaching staff, the front office can tell them, yes, there are things to work on. No one's denying that, but these guys have come in and produced and shown that they belong in the NHL. It was not the wrong decision to start them at the national level. It was not the wrong decision to draft them. These guys are big-time players in the NHL, and they have bright, bright futures. All right. Want to get to the rest of the conversation that I had with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California yesterday as we were talking about what we wanted to see from the remainder of the year, and he jumped in talking about the D core before we come to a close.
I'd like to see their D get healthy and see part of that bottom six is kind of see what they have defensively, because right now they're also, you know, Ruda's hurt, he's skating in the end, Desharnais hurt, and, you know, Jimmy Schultz hurt, so I like them to get healthy so you see what you have there. And also the Barracuda, they need some defense, and they need some guys named Turner, Schaub, and Musty. I don't have any, you know, we don't have any say in who they get. But that's also a storyline here through the back half of the season. Let's see what the Cuda do. But yes, moving forward, into go ahead with your draft. But I just wanted to say their D needs to get healthy so we can also see what they have back there.
No, for sure. But yeah, I was just bringing up the draft because we are in the final six games. The San Jose Sharks right now are in a position where, you know, they've got a four-point buffer right now heading into these final games. The Blackhawks have actually played one more game than San Jose, so that's another thing to keep into account. But, you know, right now for the Sharks, you know, you're looking at pretty much the 1, 2, or 3 pick. I think that's where we would assume if the season ended today. But, I mean, Schaefer obviously is what we think because, you know, you look at what these guys would need in terms of defense. That's where they are not quite as strong, but at the same time, there's more questions that have come in there now with the health. And, you know, they already did make the pick with Chernyshov, who had a health, and that worked out. Maybe they think we're not going to get lucky two times in a row. I don't know. I mean, this is the debate. I mean, do you, away from what you think about the Sharks, in your mind, when you think about drafts of all sports, do you go for best talent available or do you go for need? Just you personally.
I would go... So I change this every year, which is not a great, I wouldn't be a great GM if I'm changing every year, but I think you go for the best talent. But if they are similar, if you think they both have similar talent or you have similar grades on the guy, then I think the tiebreaker is what position you need. Is that threading the needle too tightly there for you?
No, I mean, I think that can probably be, if you feel that essentially they are of relatively equal status, then yeah, you figure out what you need more.
Right. But if you're not, like, let's say, okay, so let's say Schaefer is off the board. I don't know if that's where the Sharks are going to go, because they have, like you alluded to, they do have some defensive prospects that are pretty good. They don't have Schaefer, but I also don't know if they're getting the first overall pick, because that'd have to go chalk for 3 years in a row. So it's just kind of, I don't know what's going to happen there. But then if you get, let's just take him off the board and you're going with all the forwards, right? And there's guys that are different sizes, the different skill sets. There's a Porter Marton, who's a power forward. Then I think you just take whoever you think is the best player, because at that point, you just need to load up on talent, and eventually you're going to hit or you're going to miss, where it's kind of like that Oilers philosophy when they had all those first round picks or those high top first overall picks or top five picks. They took a lot of forwards, and some of them worked out. Some of them didn't work out as well. And some of them worked out and they moved around. Like Taylor Hall worked out. He's just all over the place. Yaropov, is that his name? Right. There's another guy, but and Ryan Nugent Hawkins and all those guys, they have a lot of forward group.
Yeah.
And it eventually really worked out with Connor McDavid. But to the point, I think the Sharks just need to keep building talent. And I think you just build whoever you think is good. You have to get your guy too. I also believe in that. Like, you don't take a guy that is there, but you don't have a high grade on him, but you know everyone else likes him. I think that's at a point where you like trade back. And I don't think trading back, if the guy they want isn't there, trading back, I don't think he's off the table either for the San Jose Sharks. If you stay within, like, you know, top five, top 10, but you move back a couple spots and get another draft pick or something like that. I think they're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I think they're in a good spot to add talent to this already top prospect pool. I think the work that Mike Greer has done with creating all this draft capital, this cap space, they're in a good spot, but also their development staff, Todd Marchand and his group, none of his prospects, even deeper into the list, have taken steps back. It sounds like, it feels like, by all reports, like everyone you're looking at, you even have the kid at UConn that's taking steps, Moldoni having a good year. And then you have Cam Lund taking the next step. And those guys are further down the prospect list that were honorable mentions. And they, like, Cam Lund looks like he's going to be a serviceable NHLer and maybe has a higher ceiling than we'll see, kind of like with Graf.
Yeah,
it just feels like everyone in their prospect pool took a step forward. And I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure if you go through, there's guys that didn't. But like Cardwell, Gushin, even the Barracuda, they have in some good years. And you have Kenyoni, who's a pearl and a gem of development staff. So it just feels like, and I've told you this before, the ways that the San Jose Sharks could mess this rebuild up seem very small because of all the options they have, the amount of talent they've accumulated. And it was tough. It was tough to see Burns, Carlson, and all those guys go. But now if you're looking at this 2 years, 3 years down the line from some of those trades, you feel like Mike Greer and the Sharks did some really good work. And I honestly, like, it's crazy, but I don't feel like there's a way that they could genuinely mess this up a whole lot. And you can record this and we can play this back in 5 years and I can make it look very stupid. But I just don't think there's a way that they can really mess this up. And part of that, a lot of that is because they got Macklin celebrating.
Yeah.
And that allows them to do a lot of different things. I think, you know, Macklin allows you to take whoever you want now this draft. If you didn't have a bona fide number one center, you got to take a center, right?
Yeah.
You have Macklin, and you have a Macklin who looks like a generational type player. Now he's tapered off here a little bit the back end of this half or the last five or so games, but Macklin's allowing you to do whatever you want in this draft. And I think that's such a luxury to have.
No, it's true. He accelerated everything. He helped crystallize what the vision is. As a final one for you, what are you going to think of Ryan Warsawski's job in year number one as the head coach? Because I'm always amazed when people are critical of him. And, you know, I think there have been times where people have been a little bit questioning, which is fine. Like, why did he do this? Why did he do that? But the point that you made right out of the number one game or number three game after the deadline, something like that, where you said, you know, in studio to me, you're like, hey, Ted, it doesn't matter who Ryan Warsawski is putting out there for San Jose, even now on the other side of the deadline, they're still playing in one goal games. Like, that to me, And I, you know, that's might be the smartest thing you've said all year long, because it's so, I didn't even think of it, but it's such a good point. You're like, it doesn't matter who's out there for Warsawski. They're playing hard until the final of every single game. They're not winning, but they keep on being in tight, tight games.
I think he's done a fantastic job. And even after the Four Nations, he made some defensive tweaks to play into what they have. And I think that's a mark of a good coach, is you aren't creating your systems for you. You're creating your systems around your players to fit, not to get your players to fit into your system, if that makes sense. Did I say that correct? You know what I'm trying to say, right? So he made some tactical errors, tactical switches to enhance what he has there. The guys are playing hard for him. I think they respect him. The culture is really good inside that room, especially for a losing team that's having a difficulty getting wins. And, you know, obviously, I think there's some times where he's been a first-year coach and maybe he's wanted a couple decisions here back. But that's with any player, any rookie, any veterans are going to have plays that they want back. And that's part of the game. And he's stepped up and, you know, he's not shied away from any of that. And I think he's fantastic. I think he's done a great job. Yeah. And I think that's all you need to know, is that whoever's been on the ice, young guys, they've had like 13, 14 rookies. They've used the second amount of most players in the league this year. They're in it. They're fighting. And even when they go down a couple goals, they come back. You know, against the Kraken last game wasn't the prettiest. And so that was tough to see. But yeah, I think they found a really, really good coach. And obviously USA Hockey believe that as well, as he's going to coach the world championship team here after the season. He's made a believer out of me, because I will admit, when they hire Warsawski, they go through the whole song and dance and doing all these interviews and everything. And then you just come back to the guy that's on your bench. Like, yeah, that's a little jarring, right? But he's won me over the way that he communicates, when he's in press conferences, and when you have him in a sit down conversation with him, he's enlightening and he's there to engage, and he's an engaging guy. Yeah, I have great respect for what he's done this year. And I also have a little inkling that this guy is not someone that is just going to be a transitional piece. If the Sharks turn it around under his watch, he's going to be in San Jose for a long time.
Yeah, and I think to your point about when they hired him, it's always an interesting case when the team says, after a worldwide search, we figured out the answer was already in the building. There is reason to be skeptical of that. But also, the narrative about Ryan Warsawski for a long, long time was, this guy is going to be a bona fide NHL coach. This is a guy who has that narrative about him. And, you know, he's coming through. You know, it reminds me, not quite, but, you know, Steve Kerr, when he took over the Warriors, his main job was not to screw things up, because he already knew he was inheriting a whole lot of talent. You know, Ryan Warsawski, a lot of his job has been, don't screw up the development of these young stars. Make sure you allow them to flourish. And he's done that very, very well. You know, this has not gone sour. There have not been, you know, issues amongst the team. He's fostered an environment to where guys are flourishing, and not just, you know, the highly touted prospects like Will and Macklin, but all the prospects are coming up and flourishing.
Yeah, and I think, and he's won, right? He's won at the AHL level, the ECHL level. So when they do start building towards this winning brand of hockey that we all hope we see in the future for the San Jose Sharks, he's going to know how to deal with that. And he's not probably going to give the young guys as much rope as they have right now. And he's going to adjust. And that'll be an interesting transition too. But I really believe that this wasn't, I know it's a 3-year deal, I believe. I think he has a chance to be one of the really bright young coaches that can be in San Jose for a long time. And we'll look back on that hiring for Mike Greer, and it'll just be another thing that Mike Greer got right. And so far in Mike Greer's tenure, I have to admit, there haven't been a whole lot of moves or decisions that he's gotten wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're in a vacuum, and when that moment happens, when it's the Burns deal, when it's the Carlson deal, when it's the Meyer deal, when it's the Zetterlund deal, let's even say, it all is like, oh man, I don't know about that deal. But then a year removed from that deal, I haven't looked back too many times and been like, yeah, that was a miss.
Right.
Like so you got to believe in Mike Greer and trust the process, as they say. And I think he has their coach, and I think he has the right coach for the San Jose Sharks. I'm really excited to see, you know, I'm excited to see this stretch down here, but I am like get me some popcorn and let me watch this offseason. Let's see this team go to work year two of the Ryan Orsovsky era. I just believe, I want to believe that there is something special coming in 2025-26.
Again, that is Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. We are out of time. I will see you on Wednesday, 5 o'clock go time, 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network as the Sharks start off their final road trip of the season, the first of four, taking on the Wild. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yeah.